Welcome to iFormRx, where we explore the evidence that matters to ambulatory care pharmacy practice. Today, we're going to talk about the potential benefits of team-based care and other strategies in the context of managing patients with high blood pressure. The most recent guidelines for the management of high blood pressure in adults was published this past November and endorsed by more than 11 professional organizations. And one of their recommendations was to use team-based strategies to achieve optimal blood pressure control. But what is the evidence to support such a strong recommendation? So that's what a recent systematic review and meta-analysis explored in a recently published manuscript in January 2018 in the Annals of Internal Medicine. Joining me today is Dr. Lauren Grechek Pamelupati from the Virginia Commonwealth University School of Pharmacy, and she practices at the Hayes E. Willis Health Center, which is a primary care clinic in Richmond, Virginia, affiliated with VCU Health. Dr. Grechek Pamelupati and her co-author, Deborah Barnett, wrote a commentary for iFormRx entitled, Strategies for Managing Hypertension, Is the Paradigm Shifting? Well, Lauren, thanks for joining me today for the iFormRx podcast.
Thank you for having me, Stuart. I'm happy to contribute to iFormRx again. This is a very timely topic, so I think we'll have a great discussion today.
So, Lauren, I want you to imagine you're a clinical administrator, perhaps the medical director or the clinic manager for an internal medicine group, which has 12 physicians, 4 nurse practitioners, and 2 physician assistants who work for the practice group. Now, the practice group recently joined an accountable care organization, or affectionately known as an ACO, in your region. And as part of the agreement, the practice group shares practice-related data with the ACO. One of the big pushes for the ACO has been to get more of their patients to their blood pressure goal. At the present time, 52% of the patients with a diagnosis of hypertension in your clinic had a blood pressure less than 140 over 90 at their last visit. With the newest guidelines recommending an even lower blood pressure goal, you know your clinic's performance numbers are going to be far worse in the future. So before we talk about team-based care and the other strategies that were included in the study that you reviewed in your iFormRx commentary, I'm wondering what additional information you'd like to collect and assess before making any decisions about interventions to employ in this case. What are some of the most common methods or strategies that are typically employed by healthcare organizations to improve quality? For example, many institutions conduct in-service presentations or set up alerts in the electronic health record, and I'm sure there are many others. Is there any evidence that these strategies actually work? Tell us your thoughts.
As you mentioned, many institutions will implement provider education, often through in-services or set up alerts in the electronic medical record, which often contributes to alert fatigue. Before making any decisions in this case, it would be important to know what has already been tried. There are some patient-level strategies, such as health coaching or home blood pressure monitoring, that may be implemented, but at the provider level, institutions are typically looking at provider training or education, audit and feedback, and electronic decision support systems. Provider training typically includes education or training targeting different providers on specific disease states of focus, including guideline adherence and/or patient communication. Audit and feedback is defined as repeated periodic summaries of patient outcomes given to providers, such as blood pressure values, so they can then evaluate these and improve patient care. An electronic decision support system typically consists of computerized alerts, reminders, or order sets intended to aid the providers in the point of care decision making. The study we will discuss today actually looked at these areas. The patient-level strategies such as health coaching and home blood pressure monitoring demonstrated statistically significant reductions in systolic blood pressure from baseline to completion. However, when looking at the provider-level strategies individually, which is the effect from baseline to completion, there was no statistically significant reduction in blood pressure for any of the strategies compared to the control group. These strategies are typically easier to develop and implement. However, they do not typically provide optimal blood pressure-lowering results. In general, many of the quality improvement strategies have very modest effects and are often best utilized in combination with other approaches, such as team-based care, which is actually the focus of what we will discuss today.
Well, Lauren, let's talk about the study entitled Comparative Effectiveness of Implementation Strategies for Blood Pressure Control in Hypertensive Patients, a Systematic Review and Meta-Analysis. And for the benefit of our listeners who have not yet read that paper, can you give us an executive summary of the research methodology and the key findings?
In this study, which was a systematic review and meta-analysis, 8 implementation strategies were evaluated for overcoming 3 barrier levels. Health coaching and home blood pressure monitoring were classified as the implementation strategies under the patient-level barrier. Provider training, audit and feedback, and electronic decision support fell under the provider-level barrier category. And finally, the multi-level barrier category included strategies such as multi-level without team-based care, team-based care with physicians titrating the medication, and team-based care with a non-physician provider titrating medications. The researchers looked at 100 articles with 121 comparisons of 55,920 participants. The implementation strategies from these articles were compared, and to do so, the researchers adjusted for covariates such as age, sex, baseline systolic blood pressure, trial duration, type of control group, and all other intervention strategies. Ultimately, team-based care with titration by a non-physician was most effective, with a mean change in systolic blood pressure of 7.1 millimeters of mercury and a diastolic blood pressure of 3.1 millimeters of mercury. This was followed by team-based care with titration by a physician, which reduced systolic and diastolic blood pressure by 6.2 and 2.7 millimeters of mercury, and then multi-level strategy without team-based care, which reduced systolic and diastolic blood pressure by 5 and 2.9. All multi-level implementation strategies were effective and statistically significant for lowering both systolic and diastolic blood pressure. The least effective strategies for lowering blood pressure fell under the provider-level barrier category and included provider training and audit and feedback. The blood pressure-lowering effects of these strategies were not statistically significant.
So now let's talk about the methodology of this study. What would you say are the major strengths, potential weaknesses, limitations of this systematic review and meta-analysis? Do the authors adhere to the PRISMA-P guidelines, which provide guidance on how best to conduct and report this kind of research?
First, let's address the PRISMA-P guidelines, which for those of you listening, stands for the Preferred Reporting Items for Systematic Review and Meta-Analysis Protocols. It is a checklist of items that should be addressed when conducting a systematic review. This study met all of the 17 areas. However, one of the areas has room for improvement. Item 15B, specifically the portion regarding planned exploration of consistency, could be elaborated upon. One of the weaknesses identified relates to this, as the reported I-squared values for the adjusted mean net reduction in blood pressure associated with each implementation strategy were all greater than 50%, with the exception of the diastolic blood pressure for team-based care with titration by a non-physician and electronic decision support systems. The high I-squared values, which are measures of heterogeneity, were not discussed in the manuscript itself. In accordance with the PRISMA-P guidelines, the source of heterogeneity should have been attempted to be explained by a subgroup analysis or sensitivity analysis. Another limitation present in the systematic review and meta-analysis is that some of the implementation strategies only had a few articles for evaluation, despite searching clinicaltrials.gov for data that was not published due to neutral or negative findings. Most notably, the provider-level barrier had the fewest articles included in the analysis. Despite these limitations, several strengths existed, such as the relevance to our population in the United States, as most of the studies included were completed in the U.S. or in other high-income countries. Furthermore, many of the individuals in the included studies had controlled blood pressure at baseline. Therefore, a sensitivity analysis was completed that included only trials with patients that had uncontrolled blood pressure at baseline. This analysis showed a greater systolic lowering effect for team-based care with titration by a non-physician or physician, and had a greater diastolic blood pressure lowering effect for all of the multi-level barrier strategies. Team-based care with titration by a non-physician had a mean systolic and diastolic blood pressure reduction of 8 millimeters of mercury and 5 millimeters of mercury in the sensitivity analysis, including only trials with uncontrolled blood pressure at baseline. This is promising, as many of our patients we see in clinic have uncontrolled blood pressure. Therefore, the multi-level approaches, specifically those including a physician or non-physician, will lead to even greater reductions in blood pressure.
So, Lauren, let's turn back to our case scenario. Recall you are the clinic manager in a very busy internal medicine clinic where only half of the patients with hypertension are achieving the goal blood pressure of less than 140 over 90. Based on the findings in this paper, what are some strategies you think would be most beneficial to implement, and what do you see are the potential barriers to implementing those strategies?
This is a great segue, because I had mentioned earlier that in this article, the blood pressure lowering effects for those with uncontrolled blood pressure were even greater for the multi-level barrier strategies. Seeing as how the new guidelines recommend a blood pressure goal of less than 130 over 80, this clinic will likely have more patients classified as having uncontrolled blood pressure. A similar effect that was seen recently published in the New England Journal of Medicine, the Black Barbershop Study, that included patients with baseline systolic blood pressures greater than 150. When comparing the pharmacist-led intervention to the encouragement of lifestyle modifications with physician appointments, the mean systolic blood pressure was reduced by 27 millimeters of mercury in the pharmacist-led group compared to 9.3 millimeters of mercury in the control group. Based on this information, I would recommend multi-level implementation strategies with a focus on non-physician-led care. Seeing as this case scenario includes four nurse practitioners and two physician assistants, this team-based care approach led by a non-physician would be feasible. I do believe there will be some barriers for clinics that may not already have pharmacists embedded in their clinics, as many of the physician assistants and nurse practitioners that I'm working with in clinics are typically seeing patients for more acute visits, and so shifting them to be more focused on some of the chronic disease state management and may be a little bit more difficult to shift that focus. However, I believe it's going to be harder to justify not including team-based care with non-physicians as time progresses, especially due to the mounting level of evidence that's now available demonstrating the great effect on blood pressure lowering that this strategy can achieve. This is a great time for pharmacists to cement their roles on the team and further contribute to the overall health outcomes for our patients. What we are waiting for now is for healthcare funding and policy to catch up with this overwhelming level of evidence.
Well, Lauren, I want to thank you for joining us today on the iFarmRx podcast and sharing with us your thoughts regarding practice management strategies, including the use of team-based care that can help get more of our patients to their goal blood pressure. I think it's clear from your comments that you believe team-based care that empowers non-physicians to titrate medications is an important and effective strategy that we should be employing more often. And I'm sure most of our iFarmRx audience can agree with that. But tell us what you do in practice. Post a comment. Only members of iFarmRx can post comments and access our growing list of resource pages. You can become a member of iFarmRx. Sign up today. It's free. And until next time, this is Stuart Haynes, editor-in-chief of iFarmRx, signing off.